Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The literal temperature out there at the Standing Rock Barricade is 3 degrees Fahrenheit. Voices of protesters sound much warmer as it begins to sink into them that weeks of people power have become recognition by the U.S. government that the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has a legitimate land claim to territory under the Missouri River. The Dakota Access Pipeline that was planned to go underneath a dammed section of the river near the drinking water source of the Standing Rock Tribe will now be diverted. Dwali Saikautau is a reporter for Minnesota Public Radio.
The denial of the easement permit is only a temporary win, say some of the protesters and tribal leaders. Take a listen to one young activist, Tomas Lopez, with the International Indigenous Youth Council.
Once the new presidency and the new administration comes in, we'll have a whole nother fight. But for today, we're celebrating. We're celebrating that for the first time in U.S. history, the U.S. government is going to honor tribal sovereignty and the treaties that were signed on behalf of the tribes and the U.S. government. On a personal level, for the first time, I feel like we're being acknowledged as a people, and we're being seen, and we're being heard, and it's very empowering, and I'm very honored and happy that I can stand behind my people in this way.
A handful of journalists were selected to meet with some of the commanding officers and folks who are working along the police line north of the barricaded bridge. Take a listen to Sergeant Luke Hendrickson. He's with the North Dakota Highway Patrol stationed in Fargo.
I will say one thing for the protest side, for them to have assembled so many people and to be working for one cause, it is pretty impressive, because when they come out here, they do have an intention and they work towards getting that goal accomplished, and right now they have. So it is impressive in that respect.
That is Dwali Saikautau with Minnesota Public Radio. The company behind this now apparently diverted pipeline, Energy Transfer Partners, said they were still committed to ensuring that this vital project is brought to completion. That's a quote. Craig Stevens is a spokesperson for the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now.
We hope this isn't the last word on the Dakota Access Pipeline, and we think that President-elect Trump in his comments yesterday from the transition seem to indicate that they're going to take a serious look at it once he gets into office. And we certainly believe that this provides President-elect Trump the opportunity to demonstrate to the world that the U.S. is open for business, that there will be regulatory certainty for businesses and entrepreneurs who actually want to invest in America.
And the message, if that pipeline goes underneath the sacred burial lands of the Standing Rock Sioux, is that America is not open for business?
Well, I think the question here is whether that actually is what you say it is. As we've discussed, that this pipeline is actually co-located with a natural gas pipeline that already exists and has been there for more than 30 years. I actually went to the site and was told that many of those remains had been moved when that natural gas pipeline was there. So there certainly is, you know, some concern by the Native American tribes, but also we have to make sure that we're working within a circumference of regulatory certainty whenever we look towards investment in the United States.
Now, if you were to tell me tomorrow that some land that we were looking at is actually sacred to you and your family is buried on it, I would settle the matter right there. I wouldn't be concerned about, you know, trying to dig up the remains and determine if they were actually yours or not. Why is this different?
Well, what if the FCC came in and said that for whatever reason we just don't like your show anymore and try to strip your license for no apparent reason? I think that, again, we're looking towards – we live in a civil society that is governed by laws and regulations, that have been, you know, passed through Congress, signed by an executive, a president or a governor. And this is the circumstance that we live in. And, you know, to change that without any real evidence is, I think, a real challenge.
Are you equating the Standing Rock Sioux with the FCC?
What I'm talking about here is regulatory certainty. And again, the regulatory certainty and the questions that were brought forth by the Assistant Secretary when she issued her memo, you know, it provides, I think, a chilling effect on infrastructure development because they really don't understand what to expect from the federal government. I mean, this project itself is 1,200 miles long, has been approved by four state governments and the federal government. And the federal government actually only has jurisdiction over 35 miles. And even this passage was already approved for the easement by the Army Corps of Engineers. And then when you have the Secretary, this is the Secretary of the Army, saying that everything was done right, but we're going to go back and take a look at this. I mean, that's a real challenge.
How many millions of dollars has the company lost here?
Well, they've invested over $2.5 billion to this point. You know, and certainly every day that there is a delay, it is costing the company money. And if there's a reroute, I mean, that will be a significant delay. We're talking months to years, depending on the actual path of the reroute. And, you know, that's a significant amount of money for the company.
Does it really matter to the company where the pipeline goes, under this site or that site? I mean, oil is oil, gas is gas.
Well, the amount of time and effort that it will take to reroute, if you just look at this, the Dakota Access Pipeline, I mean, they've been at this for over 800 days. They've had to purchase easements. They've had to get cultural and environmental surveys completed and approved by the four state governments and by the federal government. So this is a huge investment already by the company. And to reroute would be, again, a significant amount of money and well into the billions.
Do you have kids, Craig?
I do.
What have they said to you about this? I mean, it's probably not terribly often that your job ends up as the headlines in the news.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're more concerned about, you know, my safety more than anything else. They certainly have an understanding of the facts, and which is, I think, what we've tried to present is the facts and the rule of law. You know, certainly the emotional side of this is something that the main coalition will never win, right? So that's why we have talked about the facts and made sure that people understood that this pipe does not cross reservation land, that there's actually right now a rail line that crosses within 2 miles of the Standing Rock Sioux water intake that carries 300,000 barrels of oil a day. So there are real facts out there, I think, that are being missed by the American people.
Craig Stevens is a spokesperson for the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now. Thanks so much, Craig.
Thanks for having me.